all through the Bible, we're continually being reminded that as a person thinks in his heart, so he is. That is Proverbs 23:7 in the AV. We are defined, in a sense, by our own self-perception. If we see ourselves as redeemed in Christ, then that is who we are. If we believe what God says, that I see you as justified, as counted right, as dressed in white clothes before me, although you're not, of yourself, then that is how we are. If we continue to see ourselves as rotten, wretched sinners who will not be saved, well, I suppose that is sort of how we are. But the important thing is that the thought is really the action, as Jesus taught. And it goes more than the thought being the action. The thought is how we are, not just effectively the action. You know, you look at a woman to lust after her, it's as if you've committed adultery, you hate your brother in your heart, it's as if you killed him. It's more than that. The thought is not only the action, but the self-perception is how you are. As I say, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he, the proverb says. And again, to quote the same chapter of Proverbs 23, verse 19, therefore guide your own heart in the way. In other words, you do have some power over your own thoughts and therefore your own self-perception and actions. The Israelites considered themselves, in Numbers 13, to be grasshoppers. And yet they say, we were as grasshoppers in their sight, so they thought. And so that's how they came to think of themselves. Other people think that I'm just a mere insignificant little grasshopper. Well, that's how I am, I suppose. And, you know, we have all this pressure on us, all around us, to perceive ourselves as others think of us. Members of a crackpot religion or a sect or whatever people call us. But no, we are to be defined by how God and how Jesus see us. You may have to live with somebody, maybe someone in your family, who is forever running you down. Could be a partner, could be parents, could be kids, could be people you work with. People just always running you down. And yet we are not to allow that to define how we see ourselves. Well, this matter of the heart and how we think and the thought being counted as the action, as you know, this is the absolutely core teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, which was, if you like, his manifesto of the kingdom, the principles by which his kingdom were going to be operated. And it is so critical to understand that. And this is why the Hebrew word for spirit has such a wide meaning. It can mean both the mind and also the power. Holy Spirit is the power of God, but it's also the mind and the thinking of God, because thoughts lead to actions. Now, this is ultimately true of God himself. In Isaiah 14, verse 24, it's maybe the clearest. As I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. God is saying, my thoughts are my actions. And that's why his spirit is both his thoughts and his actions. And yet that is also kind of true of all of us, because your thoughts become your actions. You may deny it, but ultimately what you think of doing is, in a sense, what you end up doing. And it's the same with your words. You may think, no, I'm clever enough to think something horrible about that person, but I will be smart enough to never actually say it. Well, Jesus says, Matthew 12, 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart is literally that which remains over. As if, you know, a certain amount of your mental thought energy has to go to just getting through life. And I guess we do a lot of things at work or in domestic chores, etc., sort of on autopilot, but psychologically autopilot. But what is beyond all that will issue forth ultimately at some point in the words you say. And so God's thoughts are his actions, and that becomes true of us. And what he wants is for us to accept his spirit into our hearts, so that his thoughts become our thoughts, and therefore our actions become his. This is the whole huge blessing of the offer of the gift of the Holy Spirit, by which I do not refer to doing miracles and the miraculous manifestations of miraculous gifts. I refer to what is far more necessary and far more important and absolutely crucial and at the essence of Christian life, and that is to be spiritually minded, to have the mind of Christ, which was, as we know from Philippians 2, the mind of God, to have the mind of Christ, without which we are none of his. This is how to control actions, not by nail-biting steel inside your will, steel-willed self-control. None of us are very good at that. Some may be better than others, but ultimately, we're not very strong. We're very weak, really, when it comes to it. Whereas, what is needed is a mind, a spirit that thinks and is differently, that breathes differently. Again, spirit can mean breathing. Because, as I say, spirit means power. Because your thoughts eventually are reflected in action. This is how it is with God, as I say, Isaiah 14:24, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass.